You could have been a supporter of any football team. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. You could have been following the champions of the Champions League. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. What's all this stuff you're giving us? There's just one team for me, and that's the town where I come from. In Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley. Hello everyone and welcome back to Ravens Weekly for another episode of the official Bromley FC podcast brought to you by myself, who is Matt Hall, and the man opposite me, who is Josh Tindall. How are you, Josh?
Very, very well.
Good, Matt, good. You? Yeah, I'm good. You're very smiley today, which is nice.
It's because we're recording this on a Wednesday at 3 p.m.
You weren't very smiley last week.
Thursday at 7 p.m.
True.
I'm not moaning, but it comes across, doesn't it?
Nah, you're getting non-smiley again now. You've got to watch out.
Oh, yeah, true.
Anyway, it was an episode last week where we left things on a bit of a cliffhanger, didn't we, with regards to a new signing. And I think that's the first place for us to start this week, as we confirmed on Friday.
Who was it, Matt?
On Friday at 5 p.m, the signing of Olofela Olamola. Big signing, who joined from Wildstone for an undisclosed fee and came in, had a couple of training sessions, including one on the road up to the hotel that the team stayed in ahead of the York fixture, and started the game on Saturday, being thrown right into the mix right from the off. Sometimes that's the best way to go, isn't it? Somehow, chucking them in at the deep end. But Olofela Olamola, you said it yourself, big signing, Josh.
He is, yeah. And I think the first thing I said to him when he came in was, at least you're not going to score against us anymore.
You're right, because he scored.
He's a bit of a bags man, isn't he?
He is. Bromley. Home and away, he scored in the National League against Bromley last season. Of course, there was a 3-2 defeat on the opening day, actually, which was his first goal for Wildstone. He scored on his debut against Bromley in a 3-2 defeat. And he also scored in the reverse fixture here at the Relocatum Community Stadium. But he's now a fully fledged Bromley player and, like we say, started the match on Saturday. And I thought, we're going to link into our next topic here, I thought he played quite well.
Yeah, I do. And I think he's a bit annoyed that he couldn't get a touch on Josh Pasley's ball right at the end. But obviously, Josh will claim that fully. But yeah, I think early on in that game, I think he would have chucked himself at the ball and got himself a goal. But yeah, I think he played well.
Well, I was just going to say, if he did, and I can't remember exactly, so forgive me if I'm wrong, if he did, would he have been offside? I'm not sure. Yeah. I'm not sure.
But
so maybe that's why.
I mean, they let the first York goal go, didn't they?
So. Well, offside is a bit of a sore topic at the moment because, you know, and there are particular screenshots from different angles that make that first goal look onside. But I just can't get away from the fact that in real time, from where we were sat, and we can only comment on from where we sat in real time, it looked offside.
Literally, it got to the point where the ball was played and I just looked somewhere else because I was like, well, it's going to be blown up, isn't it? But no.
Incredible. Incredible. But just on Olofela Olamola, also known as Fella here at the club. Oh. That is the nickname. So also on Fella, you can hear from the man himself after he signed without interview on Bromley FC TV or on YouTube. He's really happy, really, really happy. And, you know, I'll tell you something. He's been on Andy's radar for some time now, and Andy has had an interest in him, and now the opportunity arose for him to come and join us here. He wanted to get back into full-time football. That was the main thing, and, you know, he got that across very well. And here he is, back in full-time football. He's been there with the likes of Yeovil Town, you know, Hartlepool, Carlisle United, Scunthorpe a few years ago as well when they were in the Football League. And, you know, he started out at good clubs, including Southampton as well. So, yes, certainly a good player to add to the attacking ranks. I think he offers something different to what we have as well.
Yeah, just that little bit more pace up front. I think it's probably an ideal replacement for Marriott. I think Ben Pepple's probably a different sort of striker. And yeah, I think Feller will offer a little bit more than Ben will. But yeah, when he came in, he was talking very, very highly of Wildstone, to be fair. He complimented everything about them, but I think he noticed the difference between a club like Bromley, with all respect to Will Stone, a club of Will Stone's sort of stature, and I think he sort of saw how we finished last season, obviously played against us and whatever, seeing the facilities, and I think he sort of hinted that the club's going in the same direction that he wants to take his career. So, yeah, big compliment to the club as well.
Well, you've got to look at Wildstone, and we'll come on to them a bit more later, but a fantastic achievement every year, you know, staying up comfortably in the National League, despite not being full-time, playing some brilliant football.
I was going to say, they're a good side, aren't they?
They are a very good side. And actually, we talked about it with Alan Dunn. You know, that was the first team that Andy faced in his time as Bromley manager. And, yeah, they've always been a tough nut to crack. Bromley have always had really close games against them and have come off second best on some occasions. Let's remember that, including the first game at Grosvenor Vale last season. So we'll talk about this weekend's game a bit more shortly, but Olofela Olamola is in the house and started that match away to York City. On the match itself, Josh, we've already talked about that offside goal. And, you know, on the commentary, you were with us in the press box. We were just waiting for the flag to go up, weren't we?
Yeah, I mean, you know, they've obviously seen something that has, you know, just let the game flow. But maybe it was onside and it was where we were based. I don't know.
Even the Bromley fans on the far side, who were pretty much in line with it,
yeah,
as to where they were based, were very clear.
But like you said, there were screenshots online, weren't there? And I remember at halftime showing, I think it was you and Dave, and I was like, to be fair, from that angle, he looks on. But I think that they were probably going to, you know, score the opener anyway, but...
Well, they had two chances, offside or not, they had two chances and scored two goals. So, of course, as we've said, it was Dipo Akinyemi, the former Welling United striker, who put York City in front in the first half. And that's how it was at the halftime interval, 1-0 to York City. Bromley came out looking good in the second half, and Michael Cheek finished off a wonderful team move, which involved Ryan Jones and Olofela Olamola as well, with a goal that Michael Cheek just prides himself on, just a poacher's finish.
Yeah, right place, right time. And right, like you said, though,
right Ryan foot as well.
Jones,
yeah,
yeah, true. Ryan Jones, it was his debut as well. I thought he played well.
I thought he did brilliantly. You know, he's been very unlucky, Ryan. He's come in at a time where there is a lot more competition for places. Not only that, you know, he signed on the deadline week, but he suffered an injury in training, which has kept him out for some weeks now. And he's been really determined to get in the team. He was thrown in the absence of Bez Topoloji. He was thrown in at left wing back for that match away to York City. And, you know, he's a guy that looks very young, but plays well above his years. And I thought he played really well that day. And, you know, you could see there were elements. He was a tad rusty with a couple of things, but overall I thought he was excellent.
It's a bit like Lewis Lee. It's just one of those players that, you know, he's just going to excite people.
Yes, he is, very much. And you could see going forward was his main strength. You know, he really helped down that left-hand side, and with the balls into the box and you know, the cutbacks and everything like that was very impressive. And the physicality as well, you know, jumping up for the headers and whatnot, so on and so forth. But well done to him. Well done to Olofela Olamola, both starting and both contributing to what was a positive result. We talk about the goal from Michael Cheek. I think it was 7-8 minutes later, York City's second chance of the game, and Lionel John-Lewis loops a header into the back of the net, and you sit back and think, how are we going to get anything from this game? We've had all the chances, but York City have taken the two. As we've said about the first goal, on or offside, what do we do now?
Well, Josh Pasley,
but you've got to also give Andy and the management team some credit for making the substitutions that they did.
Yeah.
You know, Jude came on and had an impact. Cole Pikawa came on, I thought looked really good. James Vennings came on and put in a shift. But like you say, cometh the 95th minute, cometh the man. Josh Pasley really enjoyed that one. Again, we weren't sure on the commentary as to whether it went straight in from the cross or if Olofela Olamola got a touch. I think from the highlights you can see it's gone straight into the back of the net. But it's just one of those lucky goals. I want to say lucky, but you have to have something about you to get that luck. We don't often, or in previous years, we haven't often had that luck. So I'm really pleased with the way that goal went in. I don't know about you.
Yeah, no, it was a nice flowing delivery, wasn't it? So I think if I was the goalkeeper or defender, I would expect fella or whoever's in the box to get touched. So
we're just waiting for someone to get their head on it, weren't
exactly.
we?
So I don't think I'd have reacted, you know, any different to how York did, and it was just one of those freak goals that they conceded. But, you know, no complaints from, you know, from our side.
Well, the stadium fell silent, didn't it, when that goal went in, and a lot of people. It was a good atmosphere. Credit to the York fans, they made a lot of noise. But when that goal went in, it was like a fire drill. Loads of people walking out and leaving. And I found it really interesting, actually, when York were on top in terms of the scoreline, because I don't feel they were on top for much of the game in terms of the actual football being played. The fans were behind them. The fans were making noise. When we scored the equaliser, and even more so the second equaliser, the fans really started to get on their players' backs a bit.
Yeah, I see what you mean. I think it's just one of those, isn't it? I think, you know, when you concede after going in front, it just kills the atmosphere. I think no matter where you go, you have those. I think if you concede an equaliser and you look like going back in front, then the excitement starts to come back. But I think we, you know, piled on the pressure and stuff. And, yeah, they just didn't really generate much more excitement for the fans.
No, they didn't. But anyway, it's a point where, let's be honest, we went there last season, lost in the very last minute against a 10-man York City. So it's nice to go back this season and not get retribution, because that's not what it's about. But to actually be able to score in the last minute and hopefully, you know, we'll see. Hopefully we don't need many late winners, because we'll be comfortably in front in most of our games. But it is nice to see a late winner, because you can't beat that feeling. Josh, we've got to finish off this section by taking our hats off. If we had hats on, I can't take my headset off. You haven't got one on. So congratulating and taking our hats off to the 200 plus fans that made the journey. Great atmosphere in the away end.
Great effort. It's a long way to go, isn't it? So, yeah, absolutely brilliant effort, and I know all the coaches and the players appreciate it and stuff, but yeah, it's a long way to go, and, you know, to take that amount of fans obviously helps with the team doing well and stuff, but yeah, and obviously it gives those that, you know, couldn't get to York last year on a Tuesday night, gives them the opportunity to go maybe for the first time, because it's obviously a new ground on Saturday. But yeah, they got behind the team, and it was good to see a full away end.
Well, it was a really interesting stadium as well. It's a whole multi-complex facility there. There's a leisure centre, there's a cinema, there are various outlets.
Multicoloured seats.
Yeah, it's an interesting seat pattern. I don't really understand.
Brentford do that, but I think I read somewhere that it's, so if it's empty, you can't tell that it's empty. I think I read that when Brentford did it.
Okay, that's interesting.
So that's why it's all weird. So if you see a picture,
yeah,
and one end is empty or whatever, it's harder to tell that it's
interesting.
Empty.
Interesting.
That may be wrong, but that's what I read.
Anyway, an interesting facility and one that we enjoyed being in. York did it. It's a good pitch. Don't hold me to that. Good pitch, good press box, good view of the game for us. So no complaints, and well done to the fans that made the trip once more. Staying on player news now, or linking back to player news within and around the first team, Olofela Olamola wasn't the only piece of ins and outs over the weekend, as we had Callum Corbin joining Mørstrøm on loan, and Noah Joyce doing likewise with AFC Croydon Athletic. Rashid Kamara has now returned from his loan at AFC Croydon Athletic. So best of luck to those two, Callum Corbin and Noah Joyce, who are two very talented prospects in the first year pro ranks, who also feature, of course, for the under 23s. And the great news is that Marcus Sablier scored again for Lewis, and it was another good goal, Josh. He's on fire at the moment.
Yeah, well, it's similar to George, isn't it, in a way? I mean, they're both too good for the levels that they're at, but we still got to remember that they were, you know, put into this first team environment so early into their careers that you look at their age, and had they had no experience with the first team here, you wouldn't really, you know, question the fact that they're out on loan. But I think because they did spend a lot of time in the first team, it's sort of, you know, people will question why they're out on loan. But you've got to remember the age that they're at, that, you know, this isn't doing any harm to their development. And you know, for Marcus and George, they're just continuing to, you know, prove that, you know, they are good enough. So, yeah, it's good for them and good for Marcus.
Well, who better to sum all of that up and comment on all of that, plus the under-21s, than under-21s manager and head of coaching, Jamel. Here's our catch-up with him.
Jamel, thank you for joining us on the podcast again. It's been a month or so since you were last on, I think. How does it feel to be back on?
Yeah, I think this is my second appearance. So, no, it was good. I enjoyed it last time. So, yeah, looking forward to it again.
So let's go straight into the under-21s this season. How would you sum up their amazing start to this year?
Yeah, results have been good, really good. And what's been nice is that the performances have been really good as well. The boys have taken on what we've been trying to get across to them, the game model, and also the individual development plans we've got in place for them as well. So it's been good to see their development, and it's good that they're getting results, because not everyone can come and watch. So when they check the results and check the scores, the performances and the improvement they're making is backed up by the results. So the wider world can see it, which is good as well.
What do you think has been the key to the momentum this season? Because they've not lost a game, have they? So it's just been constantly winning, obviously top of the league as well. What do you think has sort of changed? I know it's a different set of players, but what do you think as a coach that you can see in that group that's sort of driving them to be successful?
I think there's multiple factors, really. We've got good players, for one, and we've worked hard on our recruitment this year. But a lot of the boys we had last year as well in our 18s. Some played in the 21s already. So we've kept a good portion of those boys. So there's been a kind of continuation of what we were implementing last year, and then improving that even further. We've been really clever in our recruitment, that we've brought in good players, but also good people. We're like speaking to the players before we made decisions on them, finding out a bit about them and their backgrounds, have meant that they've aided the group, and socially the boys get on really well. And we had a good pre-season as well. We played a lot of step three, step four clubs. And that gave the boys a real test, because the intensity in those preseason games were unlike anything they've experienced, because it was playing men's football. So, and then you look at the staff we have, and we're constantly on the boys to keep performing, keep applying themselves and motivating them every day, so they don't let performances drop. Because although winning is really important at this age, still the goal is to create professional footballers for the football club, and if not, then elsewhere. So that keeps driving me and keeps driving the boys every day.
And for you personally, how have you found your first season sort of in charge of those 21 players?
I think it's been really enjoyable. It's been challenging as well. What's been good is, like I said, some of the boys, the likes of Callum, Corbin and Sam German, I've known for 5 years. So I've seen their development at the football club. Some of the other boys I've known for 2-3 years as well. So like I said, there's a continuation, and the boys that have come in have been superb and really applied themselves and helped the group as well. So it has been good so far. The challenge does then come with your squad for training, because some go out with the first team, so you're constantly spinning plates a little bit and have to think on your feet when your plans get changed 45 minutes before the session. But again, that comes with it. But the boys are really motivated. And they're at it, and so far the results have been good and the performances have been good. They just need to maintain that.
And you mentioned Callum and Sam German there. Obviously both of them have recently gone out on loan. How important are these loan spells to these young players?
Yeah, really important, because it further, we can't match the first team level without them playing in the first team, and the boys aren't quite ready yet. For numerous reasons, they're young boys and they're still developing. So the best possible thing for them is to go and play men's football. I think the 21s is a great grounding, but both those boys and the other boys that have gone on loan have performed very well, and they've shown that they're more than capable to go and play at step four where they're playing now and perform. And they've been performing there as well. I know it's Cal's first game, but he played for Mersham, and they come back from being 3-0 down at half time, and he played the 90 minutes. So it's, although the footballers in non-league are part time, there's still a lot on it, and the manager's job is on the line. And he's not played in, they've not played in environments like that, and it's important to recreate a first team environment for them as best as we can.
For those who don't know, could you describe the, you know, the structure to the Suburban League? Because is it relegation and promotion, or is it a case of sort of entering the league every year? Because I get a bit confused. I don't know about you, Matt, as well.
Yeah.
But I think I know a few people have asked me how it sort of works.
Yeah, it's more regionalised. And then the clubs who've... So we're 21, some are called reserves, based on the first team and the football club's status in the footballing pyramid, they're placed in that league. So essentially, no, there isn't relegations, but there's a trophy to be won.
Yeah.
So as much as we want to develop, we also got to teach the boys to win football games, because the next step in their development is to win. Like I said, jobs are on the line and people's places in the team, contracts, all sorts. So we're coaching the boys to win, to try and prepare them for that next step.
Obviously, you've touched on the great start to the season that the under-21s have had. How have you kept everyone's feet on the ground? Because they must be buzzing with how things are going, but how have you kept that focus and feet on the ground?
That none of them are full-time professionals yet. So as nice as I can, well, I say I'm a, hopefully people think I'm a nice guy, I've got to keep them humble. I always just say stay humble and stay hungry, because until they're 25, 26 years of age and they're earning a full-time wage from football where they can support themselves and everything, then even then you can't rest, because there's always challenges in football. But that's my burning desire, to try and facilitate their development to get to that level. It's so hard. Football's such a difficult game to progress in, and they've got to realise that. But stay motivated, stay positive, stay happy, because if that over... it can't overwhelm you, the statistics and the difficulty of it, but they've just got to keep going and keep pushing.
We talked about the loan spells, but the first-year pro scheme was put into place by the chairman a couple of years ago. How important is that to these young players? It's probably quite a unique opportunity for them, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. I think it gives them another taste of what it can be like to be a pro. So they get more than what they've got before, but there's still that kind of desire to change their shirt colour, to get a black shirt like the first team have for training. So they have a taste, but they don't get the full taste. So it gives them a bit of... it gives them even more motivation, but also more challenges as well, because now they've given a red shirt, they have to show why they've been given it, and they have to push on to get to the next level as well. But I think it's a great scheme and something we've used and something we've been successful from.
Just going to say that, actually, they've got these players to look up to in the form of Kellen Fisher, you know, Ben Crowhouse, Sol Kader,
Marcus
Sablier. The proof is there that it works, right?
Yeah, so far so good. But like everything with our processes, we're always looking and analysing and evaluating and seeing how we can make it even better. Because where we are in the football pyramid, there's clubs ahead of us, and their resources are a bit better than ours, so we've always got to work as smartly as possible to get the best outcomes as well. But so far it's worked, and with the loans programme that Josh touched upon, matched with the first-year pro programme, I think we're doing well.
We have to touch on it. The FA Youth Cup was played at the beginning of October, and it was a bit of a tough one to take, it's fair to say.
Yeah, definitely. It's never nice to lose a football match, and obviously a football match of that magnitude, and especially with the in years gone by, how well we've done. I think it's become the normality for the football club, and everyone inside the football club and around the football club's expected us to do very well. But it's football, and things happen, and we didn't perform well on the night. We underperformed. We were a bit unlucky with the goal we conceded. It was an error, and it threw the boys off, and we never recovered from it. But we got to quickly realise that that's not going to... the boys' aim is to have a career in football, and that's not going to sum up their career in football. That can't be the end of their career, or that can't be the pinnacle of it. They've got to work hard to fight and improve individually and collectively. So as difficult as it was, we can't think about it too much. We've got to move on and move on to the next.
It is a super talented squad of players, so I guess you're looking at it as kind of a learning curve for these young boys.
Yeah, you've got to use it in that way. I think the initial come down after the night last week was tough. And to be honest, they're probably still thinking about it now, because for them and for the football club, it's been so big. I think it's been that changed the trajectory of the academy, our results in the Youth Cup, because it opened the eyes of some people in the football club and around the football club of the calibre of player we have and we can create and how we can compete with clubs who are higher than us in League Two and League One. But it's cup football, and we've got to be respectful and understand it's cup football. And we were favourites on the night and we underperformed and we've got to move on. And that's it, really, I think.
Something that has grown as well, we talked about it with Alan Dunn in terms of the first team, but is the support and the people coming to watch the games and the Bromley supporters actually taking the time out to come down and watch these young players. What does that mean to you and what does that mean to the players?
Yeah, it's really good. It shows the hard work we've done in the academy to try and bridge the gap between a young player and a first team player is working, because the supporters in the club are getting behind the boys. They know their names, they know the top performers. And again, it's disappointing not to perform in the Youth Cup, because the supporters look towards that competition as well. So that's another disappointment. But like I said, we can't rest on it. So yeah, it's really good. It's really good for the boys as well. I think back to the Dulwich Hamlet game in pre-season when we played Dulwich Hamlet, and the Crystal Palace game in pre-season here, where there were big crowds and a lot of supporters come down to get behind the boys. And again, we speak about why we're doing so well. That is another taste for the boys of what it's like to be a first team player. And all those steps and all those moments and experiences aid their development as much as it does working on the pitch day by day as well.
And just finally, a couple of the players that you know very well have had some unfortunate injuries recently. Sol Cader being one of them and Reece Wyborn being another. How have they been recently in themselves? Obviously, Sol's had his operation now as well.
Yeah, it's tough to take. Unfortunately, it's part of this game that we involve ourselves in. And you couldn't make it up with Sol. I mean, he played for the 21s on a Friday night. He didn't go on loan because he was close. Plays against Wealdstone on the Tuesday and starts and scores. And there's a great moment. And then on the Saturday, the injury comes. And it's tough to take. But Sol is... he's such a happy-go-lucky person. He's just taking it in his stride. I know he's been into Jack Holland downstairs to help him in the gym, and he wants to put on a bit of weight, probably for his summer holiday next year as well. So he's really positive. It's going to be tough, but where he's so young, he'll recover well, and there's no doubt in my mind he'll come again. And this similar story with Reece in a pre-season game, just a freak. It wasn't even an accident. He went in for a tackle and fell awkwardly and fractured his wrist, and he's been out for a couple of months, but he's been back in training and he should be fit to be back in the squad and be involved from next week. So his is a bit shorter, but still really tough, because he finished last season really well and started pre-season superbly as well. But again, it's part of the game, and it's one of those things that can happen. And we've just got to, and we have been, and we've got to support those boys to come back and get back at it as soon as they can.
Jamal, it's always such a pleasure to sit down and chat with you, and we look forward to catching up again soon. Thanks for
your
time.
Thank you, Matt. Thanks a lot.
Jamal always gives such a great insight, and you know, given his extensive work with these young players and this young talent, is the perfect person to get on to catch up. So, Jamal, thank you so much for your time, and genuinely, it'd be great to have him on here on a regular basis, yeah. As it's always brilliant. It's always positive. I know the FA Youth Cup was disappointing, but when you look at it in the grand scheme of things, look, it's a learning curve. It's one game. It's out the way. The team need to learn from it and move on, and there'll be better days ahead for them, because the talent is just so vast in the academy and the under 21s, and feeding into that first year pro group, really. It's been brilliant to see how it's developed over the years. Thank you once again to Jamal. Moving on to the Bromley women, who won 3-1 against Denham in the League Cup. That was thanks to two goals from Charlotte Lee and one from Bryony Hart. So congratulations to them. They play away this coming Sunday, the 15th of October, to Steyning Town. And very best of luck to them. We'll, of course, bring you the result from that one. And brilliant to see, Josh, the women's team. We've talked about the under-21s. It's great to see that continual run of form for the women's team as well.
Yeah, I mean, you know, what more can you say? They're doing so well this season, and same with the 21s and even the first team in a way. But yeah, the women's team have really hit the ground running. Obviously, they are back-to-back promotions, didn't they, a couple of years ago, and it was their first season in this league last season. And yeah, I think last year they just sort of, you know, got themselves comfortable, sort of sussed out the sort of calibre of teams in that league. And, you know, I think they picked up some good form, didn't they, at the end of last season.
Mm.
They've just carried that on this year, and I think they'll be eyeing another promotion.
Well, you look at the DNA that Andy Woodman talks about across the club, and it really is a good example. You look at the women's team, how well they're doing. You talked about last year and actually their first season at that level and how they coped, and actually finishing where they did. It was a really good effort, but they weren't happy with that. They wanted more. You know, and that is exactly that relentless is the word that Andy uses all the time. And that's exactly what they're doing this season. It's brilliant to see. And I can't wait to keep tabs on their progress and some great footballs being played. Well done to all of them. Well done to the management team.
The FA Cup to look forward to.
Absolutely.
Next weekend, I think it is, the 22nd, away at Selsey Women.
Good luck to the Bromley women for their upcoming games, including Sunday's fixture. And of course, like you say, Josh, that FA Cup game, which is a really big one. It'll be great to see the team have a run in the FA Cup this year, and very best of luck to them. Moving on then, and this is one you fans of a few years ago and you traditional fans will love. And that is the London Senior Cup and the Kent Senior Cup. I remember when I very first started supporting Bromley, and these competitions I just loved. I don't know why. I just really did. Maybe it's because we won the London Senior Cup and, you know, we've had success in these competitions in the past. But it'll be great this year because we're entering both of them,
yeah.
Which is quite unique and quite rare. The fixtures have now been confirmed, or the opening fixtures for Bromley in those two competitions, the first of which will be the London Senior Cup to be played at the Relocatum Community Stadium on Tuesday, the 31st of October, kickoff 7:45 p.m. And that is against Redbridge FC. The Kent Senior Cup, meanwhile, will be played on the 28th of November, and that will be away to Dartford at Prince's Park. So a nice little local derby for Bromley there. I'm not sure we can call Redbridge a local derby, but great to be back in those competitions. Make sure you follow where you can and come and support the team. Look, I think it's fair to say we're going to see some first team players in there. However, it'll be a great opportunity. We've talked with Jamel earlier about integrating the first year pros in further.
Yeah, and I think it's definitely a good stage. I think Redbridge one, obviously that one's at home, so gives these lads a chance to, you know, perform in front of maybe a larger crowd than would usually come to the under-21s games. And then obviously away at Dartford, we don't know who Dartford are going to put out. So if we're putting out, you know, some of our youngsters, it, you know, they could have been taught one week by Luke Coulson.
Yeah, I was going to say.
And then coming up against
Luke Coulson. Might have a bit of teacher-student rivalry going on here.
Oh, brilliant.
Can you imagine that? How weird. Yeah. What a weird situation to be in. But anyway, I'm looking forward to those games very much, and hopefully you'll all get down to that London Senior Cup game on the 31st of October, where we face Redbridge, and that is, of course, Halloween. Hopefully nothing scary on the night for Bromley. Come on, we had to get something in there. That's not even very good. We could have done better than that.
Do you know
that.
What? It gives me flashbacks, and you know what I'm going to say. My worst ever Halloween.
No, go on.
When I watched Lincoln lose to Bromley.
Oh, how did I forget that one?
Oh,
that was before. Look, let's forgive him, everyone. That was before Josh worked for Bromley Football Club.
Oh, yeah, that was before I fell in love with this.
Yes, that was well before. And that was Moses Emmanuel, wasn't it?
It was, yeah. And I think Jack Holland went up front.
He did. And Paul Farman, who was playing for Lincoln that day, had an absolute worldie. And it would have been 3 or 4 if it wasn't for him. I remember him saving one from Jack Holland at point-blank range. But, yeah. Anyway, we reminisce, Josh.
That was a scary Halloween. Or I reminisce.
I'm not sure you do. Anyway, let's hope this one will be a bit better for you. And I hope that Bromley win again. That's all I can say. Thank you for that, Josh.
That's right.
Anyway, it's now time. I'm never prepared for this anymore. I'm better prepared this week. Community Corner, everyone.
There it is.
There we go. I doubted myself for a moment there.
Especially because Paul Rich has got you on a timer now.
He has, yeah. He's averaging out how long it takes me each week to do that. Josh doesn't offer any help, just so everyone knows. He completely leaves it to me. Yeah, he likes to just sit there on his high horse and, with his laptop. I tell you what, you hide behind that laptop.
Do I?
Yeah, you do.
Do you think I do?
I think you hide behind it. No, do I can't, you know what? Can't do just... that. Got the laptop. Got something going on the laptop, and this is all you hear.
Although I'm actually just playing games.
Yeah,
scrolling up and down.
Just playing World of Warcraft or something on there. I could have picked anything, or Football Manager or something like that. I don't know. But anyway, in all seriousness, I say this on Community Corner each week. I might say it again next week, but after that, it'll be gone. October Soccer Camp is happening next week and the week after. Please do take a look at it if you've got children under the age of 16 who like playing football and want to keep active, fit and healthy. Make friends during the October holidays. Do get them down to the Relocatum Community Stadium. We're going to have some player visits lined up. The first team players are going to come along and meet the kids. We've got a whole host of brilliant sessions lined up to keep everyone entertained, keep everyone on their toes, and hopefully have a good and enjoyable couple of weeks off school. Also, in Community Corner this week, it's a huge thank you to Bromley Kia, and particularly Peter Brown from Bromley Kia, who has provided us here at the club with a community car. And it's something we in the Trust use on a daily basis, really, to get around and do our outreach and community work. We take it to all of our schools, and we're in a number of schools every day, both during lunchtimes, during the afternoons, during the after-school periods as well. And it's absolutely wonderful for the team to be able to rock up in a branded community trust car provided by our friends at Bromley Kia. Thank you so much to Peter and the team there. It really does make the world of difference to our team, and we're very, very delighted that you've chosen to support us, and we look forward to taking that partnership further. If you'd like to find out more about that partnership, you can do via bromleyfc.co.uk, but from us, it's a big thumbs up and a big thank you. The Kia Ceed is a lovely car, and it's great to have all the Bromley badging around it as well. And I tell you what, you do get a few looks when people see the club crest and all of that, and the community trust logo. It's really, really nice.
Yeah, it's really smart in it, Matt. So, you know, if you're seeing our community staff out and about, heading to schools, you know, just give them a little wave.
Seeing that car is a sign of community engagement.
It is.
So if you see that car, there is stuff. There's always stuff happening. There's always stuff happening. But if you see it, there's your proof. I love how we position this in the podcast, because we go from the Community Corner section, right on to someone who's very closely linked to our community programs, and someone that was the, and I'd say this about him all the time, it's water off a duck's back now. As much as you say these things about him, his ego never grows. He always gets out the door after we've finished. It's Roy Oliver, and someone who has been a real good friend to this football club and everybody in it, and always looks out for all of us here, always looks out for the fellow fans, and Jim Brown in particular looks after him on a match day so he can enjoy the games, which is lovely, and was one of the inspirations behind us starting Ravens Chat, which has been a huge success. Thank you to the help of the Rotary Clubs in Bromley as well for their support there. It's Roy Oliver, and here is his segment, Roy Remembers.
We are now joined by the man that is Roy Oliver. Roy, how are you this week?
Oh, I'm fine, Josh. How are you?
Yeah, really, really good.
Good.
So yeah. Matt usually does this section. So obviously he's not here today, but he tends to look back on the previous couple of fixtures. So what have you made of the past? Obviously Saturday drawing at York, you said off air there it was a good result. What did you make of the day?
Yeah, I think it was a good result. You know, these grounds are never easy, as Andy keeps alluding to. There's no easy games in the National League, and you've got to go out there and do your best and get a result. So when we lost at Chesterfield, I thought, well, we don't want two on the bounce. So if we can get a draw there or a win, that'd be good, because you then you start back on that run again, building that confidence, you know, in the team. Yes.
And I don't know if you know this, because we're recording this before it goes public, but you were here for Ravens Chat, so you may have seen what was going on outside this morning, and that is manager Andy Woodman has won manager of the month for September. What do you make of his, you know, the past month, but also this season as a whole?
Oh, I think it's brilliant. You know, he fully deserves it. He, you know, he knows what he's about, looking, building a team. And it's not so much about getting players. They've got to buy into what the manager wants from the team and the structure he wants from the team. So, yeah, all well deserved, even though that manager of the month is sometimes a bit of a curse. but we won't accept the curse this month. So.
I just said there that you probably didn't know, but of course you knew, because he came down and you had a big group photo together with his awards.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I mean, he always likes to get staff members, the supporters involved in anything that he's done. So,
yeah,
as a supporter, that must be something special for you.
That's right, yeah, because it opens up the whole thing about, you know, you want supporters to be engaged with the club. So when a manager comes down and gets involved in, like, the Ravens chat, and they come over and applaud the players at every game, you know, it's brilliant, because it gets the supporters get involved with the club. You know, they're not a separated thing, which they are at some clubs, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, well-deserved.
And it's all come from him as well. There's no one sort of saying, oh, this will be a good idea. It's always, I need to go down, need to do this, need to... It's always from him. So,
yeah,
it just shows what a character he is, and well-deserved on the award.
Yeah, he's very much a character, isn't he?
He is. Okay, we'll move on to this Saturday now. And obviously it's the FA Cup, so it's a special one for everyone. And obviously we've got Will Stone, who are a team in our league, we know quite well. What do you make of the draw and, you know, going into the cup tie?
Well, it's always good to have a home draw. Always good. I know, you know, home games, there's a bit more pressure on the team, because there's your own supporters want to see a good game, a good result. So it's going to be a hard game, and I don't think, you know, the manager and the players are under no illusion that we've got to go out there and be up for it, you know, from minute one. You can't sort of sit back and say, well, we're going to win this at a canter. They are a National League side, so, and they are a difficult side to play against. But I feel confident that we're going to get the right result.
And obviously, the reason why you're here is because you do have a weekly section called Roy Remembers.
Yeah.
What have you got for us today?
Well, I've got the fourth round of the Amex Cup in 1949. So the date of the game was 26th of February 1949. And it was Pegasus 3, Bromley 4. It was the quarterfinal tie. It was at Iffrey Road, Oxford.
Okay.
And that's where Roger Bannister did the first sub-4-minute mile with Chris Chataway as the pace setter. And there was 12,800 people there. And they ran special trains from Bromley South, which was 9 shillings return to Oxford. So Bromley, and I'll give you some sort of comparison. In the previous round, they paid Barking away. They took over 5,000 supporters to Barking, Bromley, over 100 coaches full of Bromley supporters, which is amazing.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so... And the game went backwards forward, and everybody said there that it was the finest amateur game you could ever see. It was on par with the professionals in them days. Because Pegasus, Oxford and Cambridge universities, and the great Doug Insole was a great cricketer, and there's several good players over the years. But they never played in any league. They just played friendlies or the Amateur Cup. They might play Oxford... United in the Oxford Senior Cup or something.
Yeah.
Be like a charity one. But it was a great game there as well, you know. But and all the 11 players that were playing for Bromley, that team was never beaten as that 11 players.
Really?
And that's the team that went on to win the Amateur Cup.
Oh, brilliant.
In an amazing season.
Wow.
So I'm going to do further things on that Amateur Cup run as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Well, a short and sweet one today, Roy, but thank you for joining us. And obviously we'll see you on Saturday for the FA Cup tie.
So looking ahead to Saturday then, and it is a return of the FA Cup at the Relocatum Community Stadium. It's one that we're all very excited for. We'll hear from Alan Dunn shortly about how the players have been spreading FA Cup fever around the community. Really looking forward to this one. And we take on Wildstone, who, of course, we've already played at the Relocatum Community City Stadium this season. It was the second home match of the season. We look back at it, Josh, we've already said it was the game that kick-started that 11-game unbeaten run, and Sol Kader's goal in particular that night, I feel, was one of the most pivotal moments of our season so far. Wealdstone have had a bit of a mixed bag this season. They are yet to win away from home. They are 15th in the table on 16 points, and they faced Kidderminster Harriers last Saturday, who hadn't won a home game yet. So it was hadn't won a home game versus hadn't won an away game, and Kidderminster Harriers won with one of the last kicks of the game in the 93rd minute. And I spoke to Paul from Wealdstone earlier this week, and he was saying it wasn't the best game, but I said, look, the FA Cup, anything can happen. So of course the team have got to be on high alert. We know that they will be, Josh. Andy's always so disciplined and gets that into the players, you know, no matter what kind of form you're in, particularly in the Cup. It's weird. You're playing a National League team, but it just seems like a totally different affair. The form doesn't really matter.
Yeah, like you said, it's going to be a tough one, you know, on Saturday. But yeah, because obviously we don't know what players we're going to put out, what players Wealdstone are going to put out. And obviously we're going to go for it. But, you know, yeah, form goes out the window, and obviously don't think either team would want a replay on Tuesday as well. So I think they'll be going for it just to prevent that as well. So yeah, it'll be an interesting one.
Well, since they played us on the 15th of August, they have achieved victories over AFC Fylde, over Ebbsfleet United and Woking, and the rest of the results are a mixture of draws and defeats. But obviously, it's a side that we know very well. It's a side that we've played less than 2 months ago. Fingers crossed the boys can do the business. And don't forget to come on down and support the team. Obviously, if you are a season ticket holder, please be reminded that FA Cup fixtures are not included in season tickets due to FA regulations. You will need to source your ticket separately. You can do that online on our website, which is bromleyfc.co.uk. Or you can pop into the club shop on between the days of Monday to Friday, between the hours of 9 a.m. and 4 p.m. if you'd prefer to purchase your tickets in person. And of course, you can get them on the day at the turnstiles. However, that is subject to the £2 price increase. So you're best off getting them in advance if you can. And coming on Saturday, getting behind the boys. And fingers crossed, we see ourselves in the hat for Monday. There is really no better feeling than getting into the hat and looking forward to that Monday night on TV and just waiting for the ball to come out.
Especially when, you know, you get new teams entering in the draw as well. Obviously, we'll be joined by League One and League Two, won't we, if we win on
indeed
Saturday. So obviously, I'm biased to who I want us to get. But yeah, it'll be exciting to hopefully look forward to that on Monday or whenever it is.
If we get Lincoln, we have to interview you. We have to interview you. See, you heard it here first, everyone. He's agreed to do an interview after saying no. Even when Andy said you're next, Josh is saying no.
Because so, it's not about me. We're behind the scenes.
Yeah, it's not about me either. But when the gaffer says to you, when the gaffer says to you, right, you're being interviewed, it's yes, sir.
No, you just stand your ground.
Again, the gaffer's the gaffer.
Yeah, but he thinks I'm on work experience.
Well, I'm not going to comment
that
on that.
That was 4 years ago.
That was before he was here.
Yeah, true.
But anyway, it will be a great game, I'm sure. So please come on down and get behind the team. It will be really interesting to see seven substitutes on the bench. Mm. And of course, we look back not at last year. Last year's not a good example. The 2-1 defeat to Hereford, which saw us bow out at the fourth qualifying round. The year before, of course, we faced Rotherham. You talk about the League One and League Two. We couldn't really have faced a tougher opposition away from home as well. Six supporters coaches going up on the day, thanks to a brilliant gesture from the chairman and the support. I just remember you and I sitting in that press box, which is a lovely stadium, isn't it?
Oh,
and looking
beautiful.
Over, that support was unbelievable.
Yeah, that was a really good day, to be fair. I think, like you said, it was probably between them. Could have been Ipswich, I'm not too sure, but you know, one of the three that come down from the Championship, and yeah, we drew one of those away. And like you said, it couldn't have, you know, we couldn't have drawn a, you know, more tougher side out of those that are in the pot. And it just occurred to me, I think, did Will Grigg score?
I think
Will
might have
Grigg
done.
May have scored for Rotherham on that
I
day.
Think he did, and now he's playing for Chesterfield.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't know, that just came into my head. But yeah, that was a They were really welcoming as well, weren't they, Rotherham?
They were, and actually we held our own for a long period. Yeah. And then, of course, the first goal went in. Frustrating one to concede near half-time, and then the sending off for Haji Minoga didn't obviously help things in the second half.
And that was the whole thing with, you know, supporters getting a bit uncertain over the, you know, Andy Woodman staying or going. So there was
we want
whole,
you to stay was the
chart. And then
he
went over at the end. Yes. And did, yeah, that was good.
Oh, what a moment. Even though we lost 3-0, it was a wonderful
James
day.
James Alabi played well that game,
he,
I remember.
He played really well, but also we had the concussions to deal with and the injuries, didn't we? We weren't very lucky that day.
Cousins went off, didn't he?
He did. Yeah. Reece Charles Cook came on. We made the most of the day. You know, and that's what it's all about. And fingers crossed, we can get through this first hurdle, and then we'll see what awaits us if that happens. Now, this man has such a history with the FA Cup. We're calling him Mr. FA Cup here at Bromley Football Club. It is, of course, Alan Dunn, and we could do nothing better than sit down with the man himself to hear of his experiences and hear him look forward to Saturday's game. Here he is,
Alan Dunn. Thank you for joining us on the podcast again. This is second time in, what, 2-3 weeks,
I think.
So, yeah, we're being treated. But obviously, FA Cup on Saturday, we'll go straight into it. As a kid, what did that competition mean to you?
Yeah, it was what every kid on the street wanted to be involved in. And what, remember, your parents on a match day of the FA Cup was like the whole street would be watching it. Grew up in Highbury and watching Arsenal in the FA Cup. As the magic of it, as the magic of the underdog. It's a competition I've been very fortunate enough to get to a final in and be in two semi-finals. It just highlights that the underdog can always go far in these competitions.
You obviously touched on getting to the final there. We'll come on to that in a minute. But as a player, what were your earliest memories of playing in the FA Cup?
I think it was... I'm 41 now, so it was a while back, sorry, the FA Cup games, but they were always big games, and always the early rounds at Millwall was always the likes of teams like Staines and teams that are underdogs, and they were always going to these grounds, which were difficult games, and that was always their cup final, always full stadiums, always big atmospheres, and like you said, there was no easy game in the cup, but you've seen that over the years, there's been so many surprises, so no game is guaranteed in the FA Cup. It's a competition which every club's involved in. And I've been fortunate enough to play in many.
And it was 2004, I think it was, when you got to the final with Millwall. How was that to experience?
Yeah, I think no one, like you said, ever gave us a chance to get that far. I mean, you get through the early rounds and then you get a quarter final, and then I think the semi final was Sunderland at Old Trafford. We managed to dodge the Man United in the earlier rounds. And that was a great experience as a young lad to pick up a medal, albeit we got beat on the day by a very well experienced Man United side, like Keane and Ronaldo all played. But that experience, I was only a young lad to be involved in that, to get a medal, which ended up qualifying us for Europe. Well, we didn't qualify, we had a qualifier to go and play and almost get in Europe over two games. So, and then I think 2-3 years after that, we got to a semi final where we got beat by Wigan in the semi final, who went on to beat Man City. So we'll always claim we finished third in that year. So, yeah, it is a couple of surprises, but a fantastic cup, a magical cup, as they say, and a competition that we want to do well in this year.
And like I said there, you nearly got to the final again, and obviously you were playing regularly at that point, so would have given you a chance to play in that final. And how was that to you to miss out at the last hurdle?
Yeah, we got beat by a very good Wigan side, and which was at Wembley, the semi-final that year. I remember the game, but it was one game too many for us. They were a good side, Wigan. I think Ben Watson and the likes of them played, but we did well to get that far. But it was a game which we thought we could have progressed further, but it wasn't to be. Big experience again, but we had a little league things on our mind of that game.
Moving on to Bromley, you've played in the FA Cup with us, and you've obviously coached, assistant manager as well, so you've basically covered the FA Cup in all different aspects. And what does it mean to a club like Bromley to progress in the FA Cup?
Well, I was speaking to Matt, you said last time we hit the second round, was it 1936?
I think it was, yeah. Roy will definitely confirm that for us.
But yeah, so it's again, we've got targets and things we want to achieve as the club. I've been there and I know what it brings to the town and what it can bring for the football club. to progress through the rounds. We've got a tricky one Saturday in Wealdstone, but our target this year is to try and make history. We did it with the FA Trophy. We've done it with the league. We're always trying to strive and make history for the club, and it'd be lovely for us to progress through the cup and to draw a big side and for the whole town to enjoy the FA Cup and make history for the club.
And we've seen non-league clubs go on a run before. We've seen Sutton, Lincoln, Boreham Wood do it. How confident are you that this team can go on a similar sort of run?
Yeah, I think each year we're improving as a football club, and I think the team and the players this year, our team, they're focused and drilled. It'd be great. We know what we've got, a tough test at Wealdstone Saturday. I mean, last year we had, I think it was Hereford, we didn't know much about them. We know a lot about Wealdstone. We've played them before recently, but there is no easy tie. It'll be their cup final on the day. They'll want to progress through there. Financially, it's great for the clubs to progress through. And everyone wants to get into that first round draw and bring the league clubs into it. So we'll start to be no different. But we've got a job to do. We've got work to do. We'll have a plan in place, as we always do. We know there'll be a team who can dominate possession. But we've got strengths. We're in a good place. We've only lost one in 13. They will fear coming here and playing us in front of a home crowd. But we know their strengths. We know their weaknesses. And we'll have a game plan in place for that.
Just going to say, actually, we've played Wealdstone recently. They're a side we know a lot about. It was the gaffer's first match, actually, as Bromley manager as well. Does that actually help, the fact that we've played them recently, or does it make things more difficult in preparation for this game?
No, I think it does help a little bit. We're well aware of their strengths. Like I said before, we have played them. We know the sort of team they're going to put out. We know how they play. They dominate possession. They look to sort of overload areas and play out from the back. So it's not going to be a surprise to us what's coming. I think last year, different other teams below, they can be a surprise because you don't get to see a lot about them. Wilson might be no surprise. It'd be a tough game, and a game we're ready for, and a game we'll be focused and hopefully to push us on into the next round.
From your own personal experience when you were playing in the FA Cup and the various successes you had there, which you've elaborated on, you obviously came in with Millwall at the later rounds. You're now entering as a coach. On the other side of things, in the earlier rounds, do you still get that same feeling, that same passion? Does it feel different, the FA Cup match day to a National League one?
Yeah, it's a different focus. It totally is different. Different sort of, you can put the league to the side and enjoy the FA Cup, but everyone only enjoys it when you're in the hat. I think that's when it starts to feel real, when you get through and you're in the hat and it's on television and you're waiting for your number. The excitement of that is the same as a player as it is as a coach. And look, we've got a job to do Saturday. Then we're in the hat for the next round, and then we can start to sort of dream.
How are the boys this week? It's Wednesday now. How's everyone been so far?
Yeah, tough day yesterday. Really tough day. Tomorrow will be a tough day. Again, like you said, we got a good point on the road to York. Still only beaten one in 13. We're in a good place. The players are focused, and like you said, it's a different sort of focus on the FA Cup, but we want to, winning is a habit, and we want to keep that momentum as a football club, and everyone's playing for their shirt. We've got a good squad. Everyone wants to play Saturday. Everyone wants to be involved. We can only pick 11, but we've got a full fit squad to pick from, and the players are raring to go.
It's been brilliant. We talk about the FA Cup, and the phrase that's used is FA Cup fever. And it's been brilliant to see the players spreading that this week by going into some local schools and talking about the FA Cup and answering the kids' questions. That's so important, isn't it, to grow that next fan base for Bromley and inspire these young kids. We've got a great set of lads that are able to do that.
Yeah, I think it's a good point. I think the community and what the club does with the community and the players going to school. I remember when I was at school, when I think I had Paul Merson and Ian Wright do an after-school thing and talk about, similar to the FA Cup. It builds excitement, it builds the club, and it builds the community. And like you said, the players love going to the schools. Yeah, they love sort of telling them about what it's like on a Saturday to walk out, what it's like on a game day, what it's like scoring a goal on telly and stuff. And that does only help kids, because I had it as a kid, want to be footballers and want to play football and want to progress and maybe one day play in the FA Cup themselves.
We move on to Saturday once again. The support at York was quite something, wasn't it? And that has been something really that this season has really shone amongst all the brilliant football and results that have been seen. The support has, it seemed to take a step up both at home and away games.
Yeah, we speak about it all the time, and me and the gaffer always speak about it. The support at home, all of a sudden the noise and people messaging me all the time, Bromley and everyone on my road, even from Bromley, speaking about Bromley Football Club, how well they're doing. The noise helps. The Saturday crowd, as you mentioned, was brilliant. I mean, we had many supporters. We have over 200 supporters. Yeah. Was there. Fantastic for to take that away from home, and the noise of it, it does help the players. It gives us another knowing we've got another spare man, if you like, there, a 12th man, if you like. But the crowd this year and the noise this year and the little mob behind the goal, we always having a banter. It does really galvanise the squad, and the players love it. The young players and all players love it. They use it, and I think we've got a really good connection and bond there at the moment with them. Which is helping us achieve results because we are all in it together.
Well, Alan, it's been such a pleasure to be joined by you once again, and no doubt you'll be back on very soon. Thanks.
Cheers, guys. Thank you.
That was a really good interview, Matt. And I don't know about you, maybe I was thinking too much into it, and because, you know, we're both football fans and stuff. When I was sat there, it was weird to think, like, this guy was part of that Millwall squad.
I watched that game. How old was I? I was seven or eight.
Yeah.
And I watched that game where Alan Dunn was part of it all. And yeah, it's just incredible to be sat here next to the man himself.
Because you don't really think of their stories when you see them every day, but...
No, I mean, it's weird. You always have that respect. You just become used to being around them. Yeah. And because they're so humble and down to earth, you know, you just feel like you're all in it together. And that's exactly the kind of ethos that Andy wants. It's brilliant what they've achieved in their careers, and that they're now here helping to take this club to a new level. It's wonderful to see. And thank you to Alan for taking the time out. Like you say, a great interview. And I think the inspiration for this week's title of the podcast there, Josh.
You
say no more.
Could be.
In all seriousness, Josh, you've been posting out some, and you will continue to be posting out some FA Cup memories across the week on the social media channels. It's been brilliant to see some of these old but gold moments in the FA Cup. You enjoying that?
Yeah. I mean, what's your favourite memory? When did you start?
I mean, in terms of the whole buzz around it, probably Leighton Orient. I think it was 2011-12 potentially. Yeah. May have been the year before. I think it was 1,600 fans. I might be a bit off.
What league were they in? League One?
I think they were in League One at the time, yeah. And they beat us. I think it was 3-0. We had a player, Aaron Rule, sent off. George Porter played for Leighton Orient, who later played for Bromley, of course. A mixture of emotions on that day. But in terms of looking back at the videos, and I wasn't there at the time. I wasn't there, so I feel like I'm kind of cheating by saying it. But Nick McDonnell with the goal at Gillingham. And, you know, 4-1 defeat, whatever. Nick McDonnell is an absolute, and you've met him as well. Yeah, Nick McDonnell is a top man. And whenever he comes down here, it's such a good laugh.
Yeah.
And seeing him, it's like going back to the days of old. And he's just the same as he was then.
Yeah.
It's brilliant. I love Nick McDonnell. And that goal was, just unbelievable on the
were
scenes.
You in the away end?
No, that's what I was saying. I wasn't there. I wasn't around at the time. I was probably, how old was I? I think I was 11 at the time. I certainly wasn't there. I wasn't allowed to go. Yeah, no. In all seriousness, it was before my time a little bit, but I just love looking back at it. And, you know, huge credit to the fans that have been there for that amount of time and a lot longer, who've, you know, stuck with the club since we were down in lower non-league divisions. And now, hopefully, they're seeing this as a bit of a reward, you know, where we are now to their commitment and their drive towards supporting Bromley. You know, I don't want to name any names, but there have been a lot of people who've been here for so many years and stuck through thick and thin just for the enjoyment of following their local team. So big shout out to all the fans. That's my favourite. But I just love watching all of those moments, and the Gareth Williams one as well at Dartford. Yeah. It's brilliant. Gareth Williams was one of my first Bromley players that I really, really loved and looked up to, and that goal was brilliant.
So I think the modern day special moment is probably Chris Bush, isn't it? Bristol Rovers.
I think that's fair to say. And there's a great story from that day. And obviously, we went 1-0 down. I believe had made all three substitutions, And I think it was Adrian Clifton pulled up with an injury, and he came over to Neil, the manager at the time, and he said, "Smudge, I'm done. I've got to come off." And Smudge, he wouldn't let him come off. And the physio said, "Look, he'll be all right. He just can't run." And he said to him, "Just go and stand on the pitch. Just stand there." And he went, "Just go in the box," because it was about to be a corner. Yeah. And he went, "Just stand there. That's all I want you to do. Just stand there." And I remember him stood there. He just looked so lost. But in all seriousness, Cliff, I love Cliff. He's a great guy. Whenever he comes down, we always have a catch up.
And he's had his own FA Cup run, hasn't he?
He has, certainly has. Yeah, with Boreham Wood, definitely. But yeah, that was, for me, that was a great moment. I think it was me and we had one other, forgive me, I can't remember who was in the press box with me that day. Might have been James Tanner. Mm-hmm. And we had one local Bromley reporter in front of us. There were three Bromley people in that stand of a couple of thousand probably. And when the goal went in, we just went mental and everyone turned round and just gave us the biggest daggers you could possibly wish to see. But that moment with Cliff was one of my favourite FA Cup memories. He said, "Just get on the pitch, Cliff, and just stand there. If they run towards you, just stand there and look intimidating." It's brilliant.
But do you remember the replay though? Cheek?
It was Michael Cheek. Yeah, it was Michael Cheek with the biggest, one of the worst, most scandalous decisions you'll see. I hate to say it, but the assistant referee laughing afterwards was a real kick in the teeth. And, you know, the goal went in. I think it was Johnson Clark Harris who opened the score in for Bristol Rovers after three minutes in. And it wasn't a deserved win, you know. I think a 4,500 at then Hayes Lane that night. And it was a brilliant atmosphere. And it's just a real shame we couldn't see it over the line due to, you know, that's not the only reason we conceded the goal, granted, but that goal from Michael Cheek should have stood. And, anyway, hopefully now some time to get some retribution in the FA Cup for Michael Cheek and Bromley. And actually, we look at the lineup in that Bristol Rovers, the away game, the original one. I think it's only Michael Cheek as a player that's still with us now. Alan Dunn was on the bench and is, of course, Josh has got his favourite tunes playing over there. But you could have been
the outro. But sometimes if we go over a little bit, it goes over.
Are you saying we go? Are you saying we're waffling on?
No.
Yeah, we probably are. Probably are. Anyway, I'm going to shut up now.
It's because we're doing this early, so actually
it is. But I'm getting
energy. I'm getting excited.
Doing this, I'm getting FA Cup fever. This is riling me up for the FA Cup game.
I want to play. I
bumped into a fan in the street last night and he said to me, "I can't wait for the game on Saturday. Yeah. Do you think we're going to win?" And I said, "Yes, I've got a good feeling about this. I believe we can do this. Yeah. I believe we can win any game that we play, but I genuinely have a real positive feeling about the FA Cup this year. Fingers crossed, absolutely. That's where the focus is. We're not thinking about any of the league games after that at this point, although we might plug them on this podcast. The team aren't thinking about that. It's one step at a time, and that first step is Wealdstone on Saturday, and we don't look beyond that at this point. It's kind of weird because there are differences between this and a league game, but the focus for the players is very much the same. It's another game. It's another hurdle. We've got to get through it. So fingers crossed we can do that. We very much look forward to that game on Saturday. Now, Josh, you also brought someone in who's got a bit of history with the FA Cup in terms of the playing squad. And that is one of the people who will go down as one of the best interviews ever on Ravens Weekly, Mr. Callum Reynolds.
Oh, it's loud.
Is it? Do you want me to turn that down? Is that a bit better? I don't think that's your mic, to be fair.
No.
Is that it?
Yes.
That's the one.
Yeah, that's better.
Okay, cool.
I mean, I came in strong.
Well, you know, at least we've done our vocal warm-up.
I don't know, I haven't done proper vocal warm-up, you know, like in the mirror.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh.
Well, we'll just wing it like we always do. Right, Callum Reynolds, thank you for joining us on the podcast again. As a child, what did the FA Cup mean to you?
Oh, it was a good day out. I support Chelsea. I still do, even though they're rubbish. And we used to get to Wembley quite a lot. I know we played in the League Cup, but I remember the last ever FA Cup final at the old Wembley. I was there. Chelsea won it. I feel like we got an open top bus, like my dad and his mates. And then the first FA Cup final at the new Wembley, I went to, and Chelsea won that. So there's a bit of trivia for you. I did travel to Cardiff for a few cup finals in between. It's only Ray Parlour. Remember that one?
Yeah.
I was there that day. Long train journey home. And been lucky enough to be involved in teams. I was only in the youth team, but Portsmouth won it when I was there.
Yeah.
And got to the final maybe the following year or the year after, which was a bit bittersweet because they played Chelsea in the final.
Yeah.
So I'm sitting in the Portsmouth end. They're going to get relegated from the Prem because that was the year they went into administration. They got to the FA Cup final and, yeah, it was a bit of a sad day because Chelsea won. I think Drogba scored a free kick. And I feel like Pompey missed a penalty as well. So, yeah, but it was just a sad day because it was kind of the end of an era. Great times when I was there. So, yeah, as a kid growing up, it was I was class. Yeah, just good memories, really.
Yeah.
The old semi-finals used to be at Man United's ground. I think I've been Villa Park as well. Like, the semis are at Wembley now, and it's a kind of good day out for the fans, but the neutral venue, I don't know, felt special back then. But, yeah, no, just good memories, good memories.
And you touched on it there at Portsmouth. Obviously, you were a youngster there, but how was that for you to be a part of?
Yeah, it was actually mad. A few of us young lads, we got like a big stretch limo to the final. but it was a brilliant day. Like, they haven't been involved in that kind of... I know they got promoted from the Championship before I was there, but I don't know if they've ever been to a cup final before that. It was brilliant. The city, just everyone in Portsmouth supports Portsmouth. Yeah. Like, if you're from there, you support them. And I remember, like, we loved it, like, because we was involved, but seeing some of the lads, like, their dads coming after when we were back in Portsmouth, just for the city and the people, it was, yeah, it was massive, massive. And probably as I've got older, appreciated more just how much it was to them, because as a club, like I said, I don't know if they've won the FA Cup before, but especially recent history, yeah, it was a huge, huge thing.
And later on in your career, I think, do you know what, if this is wrong, this is my poor research, but when you were at Corby, that was your first real taste of sort of facing higher opposition in the FA Cup. I think it was Bristol Rovers. Do you remember much of that one?
Yeah, it was... I was on loan for a month. I scored 3 goals in 2 games and they were all FA Cup. So the last round that we're about to play this weekend was against Kidderminster at home and I scored 2. We won that. Yeah, went to Bristol Rovers and I scored there in the first round. We lost the game. But again, it was brilliant for the club. It was like going to a big ground. I don't know if they were League One at the time or League Two. And yeah, just good experience. I remember scoring and... I don't score many, but I saw my family in the crowd, which is brilliant, celebrating. Obviously, the Corby fans were going crazy, but to score and see the family was, it was a bit something extra special.
And we can't talk about the FA Cup without mentioning your cup run with Barnet. Obviously, that was unbelievable season. So what was that like for you as a player?
Yes, it was special, really special. I think in the earlier round, I feel like we played Stockport when they were on the way up. We might have...
Braintree was in there as well.
Yeah, like it wasn't very pretty. I think we drew at home to Bristol Rovers as well. Got a replay, went down there. They didn't think about the traffic coming into Bristol on a Tuesday evening. So we turned up with about 10 minutes before kickoff. No warm-up, out, couple runs, couple stretches, straight into the game, and we won the replay, which was ledge. And I think that was the second round.
Yeah, I think it was. I think it was round 4 you got to, wasn't it?
Yeah, we got 4th round replay. So then third round, the draw, ironically, was at Stamford Bridge.
Yeah.
And I was captain, so they asked me to go down there so he could come with someone. So I rang my mate because he loves freebies as much as me. Free food and drink. And yeah, got on the telly a little bit with, I think it's Mark Chapman. Met Gianfranco Zola and Ruud Gullit there, who were heroes to me growing up. I've got pictures of me with them when I was smaller than Zola. and I got some pictures with me now bigger than him. And we got drawn Sheffield United away. And I remember when the draw came out, it said Sheffield United and then Barnet. And I let out a little, yes. And it was so quiet in there because I'm thinking, obviously there's no real Barnet fans there. And it wasn't really a big draw, I guess, in the scheme of things for the round. But for me, it was big. I knew Sheffield United, a big club anyway, like great stadium. And the connection with Darren Curry there, his uncle. We went the night before, but when we pulled up to the stadium, the biggest stadium in the grounds is the Tony Curry Stadium. So I'd heard about his uncle. I feel he played for England.
Yeah.
Not enough from what I've heard. So yeah, that was amazing. And then to beat them, probably done him a favour because they got promoted to the Premier League that year. And I don't know if it was during the, I think it was during the game, but I got injured. I broke my wrist. So I missed the fourth round game. But again, we played Brentford at home. Again, a team, a good championship team. And we drew 3-3. Anyone who watched it, it was a sellout at Barnet. And it was just, it was a special night.
And Barnet should have won that one, shouldn't they? I think
if there's VAR, penalty, but yeah. VAR, I think it was Neil Mopay dived. And then, yeah, took them to a replay. We lost, I think, 2-3-1 in the end. But yeah, just good memories, brilliant memories, chances to play against big teams that if you don't get a move and play higher in your career, it's a special occasion. So yeah, it was that was definitely one of the highlights of my career, I'd say.
And then the following season with Barnet, is there an expectation when you've gone on a good cup run, is there sort of that thing of we need to do it again, or do you just take that as like a once in a lifetime thing? And what's it like for you and the boys there?
Yeah, I think, I don't know. I think fans maybe expect you to be like, you got to the third round, so you can just do it again. Yeah. But you do need a little bit of luck. You need a good draw. I remember we had Fleetwood at home first round, and I think we lost 1-0. It was a boring game. Like, if you was a fan, you'd have been so disappointed. You know, especially FA Cup, you think late on, kind of have a go. It was just a bit of a non-starter. So yeah, you need to have a bit of luck on your side, obviously with the draw. But it's cup game. It's a one-off, 90 minutes, anything can happen. So yeah, every year you just got to go in, hope for the best. And yeah, just see what happens in the magic of the cup.
Let's focus on this season. How have you found it so far?
Tough start, obviously, first two games. But I didn't really panic. I knew we'd had a few bodies out injured. But you always want to start a campaign well, go into it with something positive. But yeah, to lose the first two was tough. I think obviously we didn't win maybe the first five, but it was the start of the unbeaten run. And just not losing, especially when you're not picking up wins, it's good to just to get points on the board. There's nothing worse than looking at the table and seeing you got no points or you're in the bottom four. And we've kind of gone from strength to strength. Boys have come back from injury. Obviously, bodies are coming to the building. Strength from the squad, add competition and quality. And yeah, went on a great run. But that's over now. And since then, obviously, we lost a game. Drew late against York. I can't remember scoring many late goals. We've had a few conceded since I've been here last year. So it almost feels, I know it's only a draw. It didn't feel like a win, but you come away with a positive feeling from it because if you go there and you lose 2-1, two games on a bounce, no win, it's tough. And then we got a little break from the league with the FA Cup. So, but yeah, we got to just clean slate, start again. As good as a run is, every game's only worth 3 points. So you got to just have that mentality, take each game as it comes.
And there was over 200 fans there on Saturday. Obviously, Roy sat with us. He was one of them as well. What have you made of the support this season?
Oh, it's been class. Seven of the fans was my family, by the way.
Oh, brilliant.
My mum and her fella come, and then my dad came with his missus, and he's got stepkids. One of them's at uni in Leeds, so they came across. Nice. But it's been brilliant, home and away. I know away's been a bit tougher now for some of the fans to get to games, but the effort, especially some places we've travelled to already, because we've been staying away, so I know it's a far journey. So for, yeah, fans to make the effort, and the cost of it, it's massive. I understand, I don't underestimate how much time and money it costs to follow a club, especially around the country. But now we appreciate it. Obviously, I try and go over to the fans before the game and after every time, because it means a lot and it helps both obviously at home but away as well. We want to give them something to cheer about on the way home. Yeah, just to make them happy. It means a lot.
And overall, how have you found your time here so far?
Yeah, good. Last year was... It's tough because it ended so, like, just disappointing. Obviously, you never want to lose. But I think it's a positive year if you kind of take stock on where the club... Year before, obviously, won the trophy is brilliant. They made playoffs year before that as well. And to take the club... I know it's a bit of history, the gaffer said, but take them further than they ever been before. You have to look back at it as a positive, but also not just settle for that. You want to do more. You want to go to the next level. And that doesn't mean I want to get to the final and lose. Like, we want to go all the way, whether it's through playoffs or winning the league. You want to try and improve every year as a individual, as a team, as a collective. And I think something good here. We've got something going good. Obviously, finished the season well last year. This year, put ourselves in a good position. And hopefully, yeah, we can build on that.
Brilliant. Well, thank you for joining us again, Callum.
Thanks for having me, Roy. Thanks for sitting in with me as well.
That's all right.
Wonderful stuff. Callum Reynolds is a true gentleman. Someone that is just so good to have around this place. Always such a approachable, just has a chat. Yeah. He's just brilliant. And he's such an intelligent footballer as well. I think he's one of the best defenders in this league. And genuinely, he has been such a big part of that unbeaten run that Bromley went on earlier in the season. The 11-game unbeaten run that, of course, unfortunately came to an end away to Chesterfield. But big up Callum Reynolds. What a guy. What a player.
What a guy.
And brilliant to have in and around the camp. Now, a couple of things to bring you. A couple of shout-outs for the events team. We've got a Christmas party.
Christmas?
Happening here. I know it's early, but it can never be too early for Christmas. Well, some people disagree with that. But it can never be too early for Christmas.
That's true.
I definitely...
I've seen quite a few decorations out and about.
Yeah, already. I've seen it around where I live.
It's definitely not Halloween.
I definitely haven't been listening to any Christmas songs in the car on the way to and from work. You won't comment. No,
I won't comment.
You won't comment. You won't comment. But anyway, there is a Christmas party happening here at the football club. That's on Friday, the 15th of December. And we've also got in December, a week earlier, the murder mystery evening, which is a first here for us at Bromley Football Club.
That's more Halloween.
That is a little bit, but December is a good month, isn't it? Yeah. So really looking forward to those two. You can find out more information about them via our website, bromleyfc.co.uk. The more imminent of our events coming up is the visit of Jimmy Bullard for an evening Jimmy Bullard here in Broomfield's Bar and Kitchen. It's not to be missed. What a character Jimmy Bullard is, and what a brilliant, well, what a pleasure it'll be to welcome him to Broomfield. Get your tickets for that one. That's on Thursday, the 2nd of November. It starts at 6 o'clock in the evening. Get your tickets for that one now and find out more information again on our website, bromleyfc.co.uk.
He's a Premier League icon. They need someone, you know, really well known to, you know, get up on that stage with him and interview him. It can't be just some random off the street. So
no.
Who have we got? Have we got Jeff Stelling? Who have we got interviewing him?
I don't know who it is. I don't know anything about this person. This person is certainly not well known.
Who is it?
What, you want me to say?
Yeah.
Well, it's me.
Oh, what?
It's me. Sorry. I wasn't going to say that. I didn't want to put people off. No, in all seriousness, it's going to be a good laugh. Jimmy is a great character. We've got lined up some of his best stories and things like that. We're going to catch up with Jimmy in the coming days and run through everything. Really looking forward to it. And he's just such a character, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's just someone. He walks in, you just start laughing.
Yeah.
He's such a bubbly character. It's going to be great.
He's one of those that I wouldn't be surprised if he comes on with a walkout song.
I think he needs to walk
down the ramp, going into Broomfield, down the centre.
Is he going to be simply the best?
Oh, it's got to be.
He's good, isn't he? He's good. And there are some great stories about him and our very own CEO, Mark Hammond, and how they played youth football together. So Mark, I believe, is going to be part of the night as well. So that'll be brilliant to get his kind of stories on how he grew up with Jimmy, etc. So please, if you are interested in that one, find out more on the website, as mentioned, or book your tickets as well on bromleyfc.co.uk. And a big thanks to the events team, Harriet, Max, and everybody else who puts these events together. It's very much appreciated by all of us. Final thing to shout out is Exec Club and Ravens Lounge for the FA Cup fixture against Wealdstone this coming Saturday, the 14th of October. Spaces are still available in both of those. And if you'd like to take advantage, you can visit the website bromleyfc.co.uk or email execclub@bromleyfc.co.uk. Best of luck to the team for Saturday's FA Cup match. We look forward to looking over that and dissecting it on Ravens Weekly next week. Josh, I think that's us.
That's it. That's a long one.
It is a long one.
But it's the FA Cup.
It's an FA Cup special.
And it needs to be
a bumper version.
It does, yeah.
But anyway, thank you, Josh, for joining me, as you always do. And thank you to everyone who's tuned into today's podcast. We really do appreciate your support and your continued comments and feedback. It is very much appreciated. And we hope you continue listening and we hope you enjoy it. We'll be back with you next week. Take care and we hope to see you on Saturday.
Of the Champions League, you could have been, you could have been, you could have been. What's all this stuff you're giving us? There's just one team for me, and that's the town where I come from.